I'm Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University. In this series called Research Matters, I shall be discussing a wide range of research projects in which our academics are currently involved. Today I would like to introduce Patricia Salamone, who's here representing Rotary International, and Samuela Gaglia, a final year student in Near Eastern Studies. Welcome to you both. Normally, I speak to academics about their research, projects, and we've done a total of about 34 programs since October. But this is one of the few times where I've had the opportunity to speak to a student, and she's a potential researcher, of course. So if she continues her studies and decides to take up that role, she will become a researcher and have her own projects. So I think it's interesting to talk to somebody who's still at the beginnings, at the first stages of their career. And Samuela has been given this opportunity to go overseas, in fact, to further her studies in Arabic. And she's really earned this opportunity by going through Rotary. She's applied for this scholarship that Rotary has offered. And perhaps, Pat, you could tell us a little bit about how it came about, about the scholarship, about why Rotary really bothers to offer this kind of service to students.
Well, Rotary International, through the Rotary Foundation, has several projects. Rotary International is a service club. It was founded over 100 years ago with the scope of doing good to others. In fact, the mission statement is service above self. About 1,200,000 Rotarians all over the world follow this rule, which means doing good to others, helping where help is needed. So there are several projects. There is the Gift of Life project, for example, which is a project which takes children with heart problems, heart defects, from undeveloped areas of the world to the more developed areas of the world, to hospitals where they can be treated and cured. It's a lovely project. It's called, in fact, the Gift of Life. I experienced it when I visited Florida on behalf of Rotary, and the head of this project is a Maltese immigrant, he's a Rotarian, called Steve Agus. He told me, my name's Steve Agus, but my grandparents came from Malta. So I said, your surname is Agus. Oh, he said, is that how I should be saying it? And they do this lovely work with needy children. Then there are there's the biggest project is the Polio Plus, which is ridding the world of polio. And in this project, Rotary works with the United Nations, hand in hand with the United Nations. Then there are the scholarships to help young people, to promote young people, because we of course believe in young people being the future, and therefore they are given chances to educate, to further their education. One of them is the ambassadorial scholarship, and the other one is the educational scholarship, the educational program. And in every district all over the world, Rotary is divided in districts, we advertise for people to apply for these scholarships. Samuela, in fact, applied for the educational scholarship. She was one of a few people who applied here in Malta, and they were interviewed. We had to interview a few of them, and finally Samuela won the scholarship for two reasons. One is that she applied to study Arabic, which is a language that is akin to Maltese, but not so many people study Arabic. But she had an extra plus, and that was that she serves, she helps the needy. She has been abroad, in fact, in an Arabic country, in an Arab country, to help the needy over there. And that is very important for Rotary. It was a big plus in her favor. Mm-hmm. Besides, she has also other talents. She's a musician. That helped as well, you know. We don't like people who only do one thing in their life. You have to be a little bit of an all-rounder. And so...
She was lucky enough to be chosen.
Yes, and we waited till she finished her third year, am I right?
Yes, this is my last year.
Yes, it's important for the young people nowadays also to have a curriculum vitae that goes beyond simply the credits that they've earned at university. The university itself, I know the rector is very keen on offering our own students the opportunity to serve other people, to do voluntary work, to expand their horizons a bit, even learning a new language or doing some cultural activities through our Degree Plus system that we've set up these last couple of years. It's been very popular. So that exactly this, that they can be more sort of a whole people and not just dedicated to exams and all that goes with that. So Samuel, when you saw this advertisement in the paper advertising this scholarship, what really motivated you to actually pick up your pen or send your email?
Yes, so as Pat mentioned, I had gone to Egypt to do voluntary work with the Sisters of Mother Teresa. I had gone thanks to the Jesuits at the university, the Inigo Network for Missionaries. And when I went there, it was like a totally different experience from everything I had ever seen in my life. It was so touching. It was like an impact on your heart, and you can't never forget it. So when I came back, and obviously just 1 month or 3 weeks and a half, it wasn't enough, because you go there with the idea that you want to give, but in fact you end up receiving more, and you try to forget yourself, but you discover yourself even more. And as Pat mentioned, service above self, it's a feeling which gives you great satisfaction, and at the same time you see the smiles you put on the children's faces, on the people over there who have nothing, literally, basically they have quite little, but they give you everything they have, and the peace and the love they make you feel is totally beautiful. So I felt after that 1 month, obviously I didn't want to leave, I didn't want to come back to Malta, but when I came back I said I want to do something to give more of myself. And I said God gave me the opportunity to study, whereas in those countries, children as young as 7, they have to work 7 days a week, all the day, you know, for a little bit of money. And I said, if God gave me the opportunity to study and to research and to have a good career, I want to at least give something back to these people. So I was in the process of looking for something to help me do that. And by chance, I saw the advertisement. It was a tiny little square on the newspaper. And as I read, it said that it's not just a scholarship for academic purposes. It was also for, as Pat mentioned, you know, for service to other people who need it. And that was what interested me most to apply.
Mm-hmm. So that's it's always the same comment that people give when they go to Egypt. Mm-hmm. I know friends of mine who've been as tourists, uh-huh. but so obviously they have a limited access to areas that go beyond the hotel, but I know mm-hmm. that they've always tried to meet as many people as possible, and I think the impact mm-hmm. For people coming from a country like ours, where we don't have that kind of poverty for a mm-hmm. start, it can be quite an emotional experience, almost mm-hmm.
Like
one person told me it was traumatic.
It's
in
true.
Actual fact, so
it's true.
I can imagine that you had that reaction
mm-hmm. because there are things you can't even imagine, and when you're there and you see that they are real, because when you listen to them on television or through newspapers or whatever, it's always just reading, but you're not experiencing it. And you see people, I mean, the sisters used to, for example, they used to give out food, and we used to help them give out clothes and stuff which the people needed. And they used to snatch them from our fingers. I mean, at one moment you have a whole table full of clothes, and you turn around and then you find nothing. And they used to rejoice at a glass of orange juice or a small bar of chocolate because they never tasted it. Mm. And it's those little things which you take for granted here, which they do not have, and at the same time they are so happy and full of joy and love.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is also what people tell me, especially about the Egyptian society, mm-hmm. that the young people, even though they live in quite mm-hmm. difficult circumstances, they have a very, very sweet attitude towards other people.
Yes, mm-hmm. they're so friendly and so caring.
And you won't be going back to Egypt, you'll be going to Morocco.
Yes.
So how did that change come about?
Originally, I had applied to go to Egypt to learn Arabic, since I had already gone there, so I wanted to go there again. But Rotary saw fit that I'd better go to Morocco because of the situation and because of the school. In Morocco, it is an international school, so it is, I assume, much safer. And but at the same time, it's still the same because it's an Arabic country, so I'm going to live with the people and learn their culture. Because what I also wanted to do is to live with them so that I can understand their culture better. Because the more you understand them, the more you can help them. That's how I feel. So
you're actually living with a Moroccan family?
Yes, exactly. Mm. But then I go to the international school. Mm. So it's...
So you'll be there for a period of time. How long will you be there?
6 months, from this June to December.
Oh, that's quite a stretch, isn't it, really? Enough to really get a handle on the atmosphere of the place. And you'll be furthering your academic studies as well. In what way?
Yes, I'll have 4 days of lectures every week. Obviously, since Friday they don't give lectures there. I'll learn the first 2 months. I have modern standard Arabic, which is the same for television, newspaper. It's the standard Arabic for all Arab countries. And then the other 4 months, I'll be studying further the Moroccan dialect because it's a dialect on its own and it's different from all other dialects. So I'm hoping I'll get a better knowledge of Arabic thoroughly.
Mm. And I presume that you have a pretty good knowledge of Arabic already, being
somewhat.
Yeah, student.
Yes.
And is this so you've finished your course here at university now, or are you still going to come back and
no, this more? this is my final year. I have my finals in 2 weeks.
Gosh.
Yes.
That's nice that you've spared time to come and talk to us today when you've got your finals.
Yes, but I've been studying all through the years, so now it's the final.
I'm sure she's very diligent.
She's
fast.
A good student.
Yes,
she wouldn't have won this scholarship if she weren't.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I think that it's important that we have sponsors for our students to go abroad, because the university obviously has limited resources and therefore cannot really provide this service. So I think that Rotary International is doing a very good job actually.
Rotary International is normally not short of resources, but this year with what happened in finances, many of the Rotary International investments went literally down the drain. In fact, they are going to be a little bit tighter with spending money next year. I still do not know, for example, if the group study exchange project will be on. The group study exchange project is another very nice project. This is different. At the moment, and they are returning tomorrow, I believe, we have two young Maltese professionals. This is not for students. It's for people between 25 and 40 who already have a career, a job. To go abroad for 5 weeks, to go to visit another district. At the moment, these two Maltese young people are in South Korea, where they are given the chance to have some vocational days where they visit similar organizations tied to their profession. I mean, if they're journalists, they're taken to newspapers or to television stations so that they get an experience. Besides, they live in Rotarian homes, so they learn to see how people in these different places live. And they are taken around everywhere. They are shown around everywhere. I know because I went myself 2 years ago. As a group leader, I was the Rotarian. There's one group leader and between 4 and 5 young people who must not be Rotarians and must not be children of Rotarians. And we share this with Sicily because our district is Malta and Sicily. So normally we have 2 from Malta and 3 from Sicily, or 2 from Malta and 2 from Sicily. This year there are 2 Sicilians and 2 Maltese in Korea, and this week we received the Koreans, who will spend a total of 4.5 weeks between Sicily and Malta. They have 5 days in Malta this week. At the moment, in fact, they are all in different places doing their vocational day.
Interesting.
So these are things organized for...
I think that, as Samuel was saying, I mean, there's nothing to replace the actual physically, you know, going abroad. Obviously, reading about it is extremely important, and keeping abreast of the news, and,
yes,
and these are things which I'm always encouraging my own children to do. But actually going there yourself is
last year, we sent Darren Zambitlupi, the photographer. I mean, his... so well-known a photographer in Malta, and yet he says that the things he learnt in that he was in California, the things he saw and the things he learnt over there were the highlight of his life, of his professional life.
Interesting. In fact, Darren has just been to Abruzzo.
He has.
Yes,
for now,
to photograph the aftermath of the earthquake, and he's done that on the initiative of the Cooperativa Culturale Universitaria.
He has.
And I've seen some of the photographs, and his work is really,
yes,
really first class.
Absolutely.
Samuela, the Near Eastern Studies course itself is quite a new addition to the courses here at the university. Could you describe it a little bit? Because I think it's a really valid course, and I think it really deserves to have a bit more known about it.
In fact, it is a pity that so little people know about it. It's in fact, I didn't even know about it when I started university. I had entered in archaeology, and I took an optional credit by chance of Biblical Hebrew. And it was thanks to Professor Frendo, the Dean of Near Eastern Studies, and Dr. Zamit, who teaches Arabic, and Professor Frendo teaches Hebrew. Thanks to them, I got to know about this course, Near Eastern Studies, and they told me about it, and I found out that I'd rather study languages and archaeology at the same time, obviously. It involves both archaeology and the languages, so it's not just like archaeology, just only archaeology and history of the place. So it involves Arabic, Hebrew, Phoenician, and other languages like Akkadian or Ugaritic, which are quite old, obviously. But they go hand in hand with the archaeology of Israel and Palestine and those places.
So it's a lovely opportunity to marry your interests,
exactly,
archaeology with language.
With language,
that's
exactly.
Perfect.
Yes.
In fact, I'm Professor Frendo was a lecturer of mine many years ago in my archaeology course, and I always found this link, especially in the because we did biblical archaeology,
yes.
This link between the language side and the physical is absolutely fascinating.
Yes, because both of them complement each other, and on their own they mean less than but together they are a whole different thing.
Absolutely, yes. I've heard many a good lecture of his on that subject. You're also a girl, I see, of many talents. We were discussing before the program went on air that you might take your violin with you to Morocco. So is that something you've done from when you were a small child?
Yes, I love music. It's a very strong passion and very important in my life. I feel like I can express myself through music. I've been learning the piano for 11 years, I think. I've finished my diploma recently, and I've played the violin even in churches and concerts. It's not just the playing the violin at home when you're alone that's satisfying, but even playing with a group and playing for something else, you know, when you play even a concert which raises money for the children in Egypt or stuff like that, you feel like you're using all the talents which God gave you for something good. and it fulfills me quite a lot.
And do you think that your violin will go down well in Morocco?
I don't know. I hope so, but they do love music, and perhaps they can teach me their sort of music. I would love that.
And you also play the piano?
Yes, and the flute.
Really? Oh, I love the flute. It's fantastic.
They're all nice instruments. I would learn more if I could.
In fact, the flute is great because it's so portable, the flute.
Yes, it's true. It's the most portable I have, and it's quite easy to play as well. When the violin, I think, is the hardest.
Yes, the beginnings are always difficult. I always wanted to learn the violin, and my father always put me off. I didn't even could stand the noise.
It's a bit screechy.
It's true.
He then relented and said I could learn the cello, which I suppose was a slightly better tone.
Less screechy.
But eminently unportable. And to carry around the cello, I did give up on that. Mind you, I had a lot of enthusiasm and very little talent.
But children who have enthusiasm ought to always be encouraged. Then the talent might come to the surface, you know. But I encourage Samuela to take, if she wants to take the flute or the violin or both, because they are not so bulky to carry. She certainly can't carry her piano. And I remember I have a sister who lives in Israel. And when there was the big immigration from Russia, they used to say, when they all come down from, those who don't come down from the plane with a violin, play the piano, because they are all very musical people, really. And in fact, many of them at the beginning, even if they were doctors, for example, and couldn't find work as doctors, they played the piano in a bar, for example, or in a nightclub. I remember being told that two Russian, Jewish Russian immigrants, father and son, were both doctors. The son learned Hebrew very quickly, so he easily found a job in the hospital. The older man, the father, didn't learn, so he found a job as a pianist in a bar. And he used to say, don't tell them, I'm a surgeon.
How sweet.
And this is what's nice about being open to different cultures. And this is why, one of the reasons why Samuela, another reason why Samuela has been chosen, is because she is multi-talented. It is important. She's going to spend 6 months over there. The fact that she can play an instrument will help her make friends and meet other people.
In fact, this is one of the things I was going to say. You're going to be in an international school, and they're going to be with other international students. So you'll also get not only the sort of Moroccan local feel, but you'll also have the international students.
Yes, I hope so. I look forward to meeting new people, having new experiences.
And in 6 months, do you think you're going to be able to have the chance to travel around at all?
I might, because the program as I have it in the school is such that during the week we have lectures, and in the weekend sometimes we have excursions to famous places in Morocco, or to, you know, just to look at, to see Morocco, not just study the language.
In fact, I know I've never been there, unfortunately, but and I'd love to go because there's lots of wonderful archaeology. But I know from books and pictures that it really is a very beautiful, very beautiful
country. In fact, that's
country.
What my professor tells me, that it's quite an opportunity to be going there, because they have rich archaeology and rich history. And also, thanks to Rotary, I hope I will be able to help in some way, to do some perhaps voluntary work, or thanks to Rotary, obviously.
That you have to tell your Rotary mentor.
There'll be somebody there.
Yes, there is always, here in Malta, it's Dr. Sandra Dingley who is her mentor. In Morocco, she will have a Rotarian, just in case she needs any help or she needs... if she tells him that she wishes to do some voluntary work, he will probably take her to his Rotary Club, whatever work they are doing. They might involve you. So, yes, tell him, make sure that you... make this and early in your arrival there, because they might not be doing something this month and be doing something next month, and keep you in mind.
And 6 months actually sounds like a lot, but as you saw with your 3 weeks in Egypt, it will flash It will flash by.
Pass by quickly,
and
yes.
And I'm sure when you're enjoying yourself, time always does, and I'm sure I'm sure you will. Now you're coming to the end of your 3 years here at the university. How do you feel about these 3 years? Do you feel satisfied? I mean, obviously you're in the university radio, so you probably can't say say anything bad about us. But seriously, how do you feel about these 3 years? Do you think you've had the opportunity to really stretch yourself properly?
Yes, apart from all the headaches and the deadlines and the studying, it was an enriching experience, even not just academically, of course. I learned a lot, especially through my professors, because they gave birth inside of me sort of the love for what they do. And I feel like when I finish even these 6 months, I want to continue studying research, and so that I can give something back to them as well. So I think it was a very important 3 years of my life.
Yes, and those wonderful 3 years when you look back later on, you definitely will say, I mean, it's a cliche, of course, to say that university is the best years of your life, but at least they're years which have their difficulties in one way, but they are the sort of the free years where you don't have the kind of responsibilities, obviously, that you're going to have later on. So I think university is a great, great opportunity.
It's best done when young, yes.
Yes. Well, I don't know. I was a mature student.
And I love it. I absolutely love it.
You're a mature student, but you're really enjoying it as well.
Very much.
It's because it's a different level somehow.
Mm. Because when you reach my age, you acquire through life a lot of knowledge, but it is not targeted.
Mm-hmm.
And university helps you to targeted, which at a point is necessary, really. Mm-hmm. Then you can go off and go deeper in certain subjects or forget about others. But you never really forget them because they remain there somewhere in your head, you know. I hope that they'll be in my head when I have to sit the exam, because I tend to forget. That's a different story.
Well, as the Italians say, in bocca al lupo.
Crepi.
To Patricia Salamone for her exams, and of course to Samuela Gaglia in hers. And thank you both very, very much for coming on Campus FM, Research Matters. This is the last in the series this semester, and we hope to have another series at the beginning of next semester, but we'll have a nice long summer doing something completely different in between. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you would like further details about the University of Malta's research projects or any other information, please access our website at www.um.edu.mt. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.